You know, it's strange that there are some people that have never, ever tried fasting. I just find that kind of strange. But anyway, over the last past few months, we've been teaching on the authority of the believer and defeating the powers of darkness. And we have been reminded that there are a number of weapons at our disposal. And we presented some of those. So I just want to go through those for a moment. We've talked about confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And that is the foundation. If we haven't taken care of our forgiveness issues, Jesus says, I won't forgive you, and he won't hear our prayers. So that's critical if we're going to be warriors for the Lord's cause and if we're going to be empowered to defeat the enemy. Then we can cover ourselves with the armor of God. We use the name of Jesus. The enemy has to respond to the name of Jesus when we bind, rebuke him in any way. Praise and singing, we've found that that is a weapon, and it knocks down walls and it defeats armies. Personal testimony shows that we have a relationship with God, and that's a powerful weapon. And prayer with the Bible, that's standing on the promises of God. The word of God is powerful like a two-edged sword. And prayer coupled with fasting is another very powerful weapon. And we're going to expound on that a little bit more because this is a subject that really deserves some deep scrutiny. And I want to start off dispelling any conflicting views about this right away. I want to get right to the point. So I'm going to start looking at Matthew 6, but we're going to go through some things rapidly because Pastor Kevin gave us a lot of our biblical examples last week. He gave us some of the reasons why we do things. So as I summarize some of that, I'm going to refer you back and invite you to please look him up on our website. Listen to his sermon from last week if you missed it. So Matthew 6, in verse 2 and 3, Jesus says, so when you give, and then he gives us instructions. And at the end of that, he promises a reward. And then in verses 5 and 7, again, Jesus says, and when you pray, and then he gives us some instructions. And at the end of the instructions, he says there will be a reward. So we don't question whether or not we're supposed to give or to pray, right? And we do that. We do it readily. Did you realize that Jesus says that there is a promise as a reward to us doing that? Let's look further into Matthew 6, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, when you fast, then he gives us instructions and he says that there will be a reward. He promises a reward. So why do we ignore the call to fast? This is an invitation. This isn't a chore. It's not an obligation. It's an invitation that Jesus is extending, like he invites us to give. He invites us to pray and he invites us to take part of the reward. So it's meant to be a blessing, just as praying and giving is meant to be a blessing. But as I've thought about the subject of fasting, in this age of instant gratification, it's hard to consider depriving ourselves to go without food or depriving ourselves from anything else for that matter. Abstinence is something that we're not familiar with and that we don't often practice in our society. But to give up something in order to draw closer to God or to hear him is something that just somehow doesn't compute to us. We don't think we have to give anything up. We can just come to God. So I just wonder, how many sermons have we ever heard about fasting? How many teachings have we heard in our lifetime about the necessity of fasting? And who has urged us to take part in the spiritual discipline, this very powerful spiritual discipline? Have we forgotten that Jesus only needs to do something once to be an example to us? And Jesus fasted, right? In fact, that's the very first thing after Jesus was baptized that he did. He fasted. He went off and he went alone to spend some time with his Father. He wanted to be in his own presence. He didn't want any distractions. He wanted to hear what God's plan was, what God wanted him to do. He wanted to be empowered and strengthened by his Father. And if Jesus did it, why shouldn't we? How many times does Jesus have to bring something to our attention in order for us to receive it or heed it or apply it to our life? And Jesus invited us to fast, just like he invited us to pray and to give. I was really surprised to find out that Jesus talks about fasting even more than he talks about baptism. 77 times he talks about fasting, 75 times he talks about baptism. Fasting seems to be the most feared and misunderstood spiritual discipline of all of the disciplines. In fact, if a pastor were to suggest fasting to his congregation, a pretty expected response, a typical response or reaction might be, "You've got to be kidding. Are you serious?" And yet Jesus says, fast. But we're afraid of all the negative results or the suffering that we might go through if we fast. Well, before I was a Christian, I fasted, all for the wrong reasons. I mean, I admit that, but I fasted to lose weight. And I fasted for 2 months. On the fourth day, I thought I was going to die. I thought my backbone was going to go right through my stomach. And then after that, it was like it was smooth sailing. I had energy. I had clarity of thought. I felt wonderful. And at the end of 2 months, I looked wonderful. But fasting should be more for spiritual reasons. I'm just saying it's possible. And if you endure the first few days, then, I mean, and that was a complete fast. That was just like water. I only had juice occasionally. So I know that we can do it. Maybe not as easily now that I'm older can I do it. But when I was younger, it was kind of a breeze once you got through the first few days. But we're afraid of the negative effects and the suffering. But I'm telling you, it can be done. Dr. Douglas Gregg, in his book, Disciples, Disciplines of the Holy Spirit, says, by giving up food, the very sustenance of life, during a fast, control over one's own existence is surrendered and offered to the Lord. You know, surrender is something we might be fighting in general, aside from having to give up food. Maybe we're not able to relate to this whole idea of surrender because we haven't invested a whole lot of time in developing that personal relationship with Jesus, with our God. And we've never experienced the fact that fasting can actually breathe new life into us and brings surprising insights. So the intent of fasting is to draw closer to God. Hebrews 12:11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You know, I think that could probably apply to fasting. God designed the discipline of fasting to bring us into a deeper knowledge of Him and to release the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Fasting also brings wholeness and healing to our life. Well, what else does God say particularly about fasting? What does He tell us? Let's look at Isaiah 58:5-8. "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this the fast that I have chosen? It's to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." A fast is worth nothing if our hearts are not right. So an acceptable fast to God means to put away pleasure, not to do wickedly to each other, no exploiting, no taking advantage of one another, no strife, debating, or backtalk, or accusing, or speaking unkindly, and not hiding from those that need us. So it's to provide the things that others need, to do according to their needs, not what we think we want to do. It's offering clothes and food and a place to stay if they need it. It's meeting each other's needs, being aware of each other. And then God offers us rewards. Isn't it interesting? God is always offering us rewards. It's amazing. And in the reward here, it'll be well with you. Healing happens. God will guide you, strengthen you. You'll succeed. When you call, He answers. When you cry out, He comes. So we fast. We fast to hear from God, to be in His presence, and to know His will. And I'm just saying, as we go through these fasts, as we talk about different kind of fasts, whatever fast you choose, commit to it. Stick with it. See it through. Don't give up, because Satan's going to try to discourage you. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Don Whitney in the Discipleship Journal reminds us that not one of the purposes for fast is to earn God's favor. We cannot use fasting as a way to impress God and earn his acceptance. We are made acceptable to God through the work of Christ Jesus, not our work. Fasting has no eternal benefit for us until we have come to God through repentance and faith. And Wesley Duell says, "You and I have no more right to omit fasting because we feel no special emotional prompting than we have a right to omit prayer, Bible reading, or assembling with God's children for lack of some special emotional prompting." And I think that we can also add in that giving that we just studied. So let's be clear. Prayer, giving, fasting are all privileges, not obligations. It's accepting God's invitation. Fasting is just another weapon in the arsenal of weapons that God has provided for us to defeat the powers of darkness. Because when we fast and pray together, we are also focusing on, we're adoring, we're loving, we're praising, and we're worshiping the one that conquered the enemy, the victorious King, the great I Am, the Creator, the ruler of the universe, our Lord and Savior. God will prompt us through the Holy Spirit our need to fast. We need to listen and respond. There are a number of reasons why people fast. They might be for a breakthrough in relationships and finances and work and health and emotions, for direction, for the church, for national crisis. Any number of reasons. And I will be, there will be a handout for you at the end of the service on types of fasting. And in fact, I have a couple of handouts for you, but I want to be more specific about the types of fasting and highlight some of those that Pastor Kevin spoke to us about last week, because he gave some good biblical historical accounts. That again, I'm directing you back to a sermon to listen to. And you're going to find that not one size fits all. We can choose. We can know what it is that we can do and what we need to do to strengthen our relationship with God and to fulfill a fast. So a normal fast would be eating nothing. Water's okay. That's what Abraham's servant did when he was looking for a wife for Isaac. A partial fast limits food, but it isn't abstaining from all food. Daniel and his friends fasted for 10 days. They had only vegetables and water. And then Daniel fasted later for 21 days. We call it the Daniel fast. And I'll be giving you a handout on all the things that are acceptable to have through a Daniel fast. And when we call this a partial fast, doesn't look to me like we're going to be suffering much by doing it. But if we're kind of the meat and potatoes type person, it may be hard for us to give up some of those things during a Daniel fast. There's an absolute fast that needs no food or liquid for a short time. Usually that's for a particular purpose, is directed from God, and it's not longer than about 3 days. There's a supernatural fast, which really requires God's intervention. This is what Jesus did for 40 days. Moses did it. Elijah did it. There's a private fast. Jesus says, you know, clean up. Go out. Don't let others know that this is what you're doing. A private fast can be something called of God or something you're doing. But no matter what kind of fast you have, we shouldn't be going around, oh, I'm fasting. I'm on my sixth day. I don't think I'm going to make it. No, this is not to draw attention to ourselves. This is for a spiritual breakthrough. There are congregational fasts. Scripture says in Joel 2, 15 through 16, blow a trumpet in Zion and declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. And then in Antioch, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Then there's national fast. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Esther called a national fast for all the Jews. And the king of Nineveh proclaimed a fast in response to the preaching of Jonah, in hopes that God would have mercy and not destroy them. That's probably the largest recorded revival in the Bible. And then there's a regular fast. That's where God commanded people to fast on the Day of Atonement. So what are and what were the purposes of fasting? Let's start here by looking at Ezra 8:21, because it incorporates many things all in this one verse. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So there's 3 points from this, other than the fact that they come with a humble heart. They want to hear from God. They're longing to hear from him. They're anxious to hear from him. And they're seeking God for the right way for them. This is a transition time. They're seeking God in transition. Then there's a fast for our children. They're looking for the foundation of many, many generations. They're fasting, concerned about their children. And then they're fasting for substance. That's their resources, their finances. And this is a good solid base for fasting. And it's all incorporated right here. Other reasons for fasting are to strengthen our prayers. And a lot of those examples were given last week with Pastor Kevin. Also, when we face humanly impossible situations, King Darius fasted all night, no sleep, no entertainment, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. So he was praying that Daniel would be spared. You know, when I was falling apart many years ago, and I was doubting and I wondered what to do. And I felt like I was in an impossible situation, humanly speaking. I came before the Lord and fasted. And God let me know that He wanted me to buy this house. And I desperately needed Him to show up and tell me what to do at that time. So God's guidance, the discerning of His will, and to better hear His voice are all reasons for fasting as well. It's an interesting story in Judges 20. There were 11 tribes of Israel prepared to go to war against the tribe of Benjamin. And so they prayed and asked God if they should go to war, and God told them to go to war. They went to war, and the first day they lost 22,000 of their men. They came before the Lord that night, and again they prayed, "Father, should we go to war against the Benjamites again tomorrow?" The Lord said, "Go." They went the next day, and there were 18,000 of the men were killed. They came to God that night, and they wept, and they prayed, and they fasted, and they asked God, "Should we go out to war against the Benjamites tomorrow?" And God said, "Go, and I will be with you." They went the next day, and they killed all of their enemy. So what is this about? What is this about? I think that it teaches us that we should never go to battle without praying and fasting. Something happens when we fast and pray that doesn't happen if we don't. Fasting brings victory. Don't ever expect to walk into an expansion, a transition in life, or even to do great things for God, or to start a new initiative or new plan that launches you out or expands your business without first fasting and praying. Put that behind your efforts. So another story, personal story about my fasting and praying. Honestly, it was so many years ago, I don't remember whether I fasted for 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days. What I do know is that God came through. And this is when He had called me back to school. And I've told you the story. And I asked God, what was I supposed to study? And God, as though He were right next to me in the most audible voice I'd ever heard Him, said chaplaincy. And as I cried and said, "Father," you know, He said, "I will give you your heart's desires." And I said, "I didn't even know it was buried in my heart." God came through. He shows up when we fast. Also, we fast to seek deliverance or protection or help us to face persecution. When we grieve for the sins of our country, we also include prayers, asking the Lord to protect us, to deliver us from our enemies that are attempting to gain advantage over us, whether they're internal or national, whether they're over our military or economics. But we come to God and we ask God to help us as we're dealing. We want deliverance from our enemies. Also against any kind of persecution. And persecution can be subtle. It can be slight. It can be devastating and difficult. It can be the abuse. It can be abuse. It can be accusations. They can come from our family, from schoolmates. They can come from coworkers, our neighbors, or strangers because of our belief and our faith. So to bring deliverance, we fast and pray. I was in a 3-day fast for my brother when my brother was really addicted to drugs. In fact, he was so addicted, he was so strung out on them, he was having hallucinations and he was calling me continually. I think I told a lot of you the story about that, but I fasted and prayed for 3 days. Then I went to be with a pastor that knew him. We interceded for him. God told us what to pray against, so we would bind the things that God would tell us, and then we would loose into his life the opposite of what we were binding to empower him him to become a transformed person. God was true to his word. And at the end of that time, the very next day, my brother called me and said he'd been set free, that he had moved in off the street. He had moved into a mission. He would be looking for a job, and it changed his life. Kathy Collins has a phenomenal testimony to share about how she went on a 21-day Daniel fast and the bondages that have been broken and are being broken in her family. You need to talk to Kathy. She's got a phenomenal testimony and stories, and she can certainly encourage you in your fasting and some of the things that you might expect as well. We can fast. So fasting with prayer is an aggressive way to defeat the enemy. And just take note of that. Write it down. Put it on your mirror so you see it. Fasting is an aggressive way to defeat our enemy, fasting with prayer. Okay, another reason for praying is to aid us in self-denial or self-discipline. It could be for healing, personal healing, as it's talked about in Mark 9:29, to heal of a deaf and dumb spirit. Jesus says to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Or it might be for healing for a nation, as Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, called all the people of Jerusalem and all the people that came from Judah into Jerusalem to fast and pray. It could be to express repentance and a return to God. And again, I'm going to say fasting can be in vain without repentance if we harden our heart against forsaking a sin in our life. Daniel intervened for the sins of the people. Fasting would be to humble ourselves before God. One of the most wicked men in Jewish history, King Ahab, humbled himself before God and fasted. And as a result, God resolved to delay his judgment. King David also humbled himself before God. He was asking for God to reconsider and spare his son's life. Another reason for fasting, concern for the work of God, ministering to the needs of others. Parents that are concerned about the work of God in their children's life, the work of God in his church or throughout the community. Acts 14:23 says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord to whom they had believed. After Paul and Barnabas fasted and prayed, they were given guidance to appoint elders in the church they founded. Church in Antioch placed hands on Barnabas and Silas and Saul to send them off on their first missionary journey after fasting and praying. Another reason for fasting, to express love and to worship God, show our devotion to God. Another, to overcome temptation and dedicate yourself to God. Jesus did this for 40 days, but there's nowhere in Scripture that God calls us to do a 40-day fast. But we can take from Jesus' experience in that 40-day fast the need to dedicate ourselves to God and to fast to overcome. If we are called by God to do a 40-day fast, and you will know that, then God will supernaturally intervene in your behalf. I just want to tell you of when we're talking about overcoming temptation and dedicating ourselves to God, I think that I've also shared this story with you probably, so I'm not going to go into detail, but I did that one-day fast for Pastor Ron when he had flown to Texas to meet a woman to see whether or not she was going to be the love of his life. And I got a phone call from him that night. He told me how everything had gone so wonderfully, what a great person she was, but he changed his plans and he wanted to meet me sooner. So that was a bonus. That was a bonus fast too. That saved him from temptation and the wrong decision, and it gave me the man of my dreams. God honors our fasts if it's done from a pure heart and pure motives. So again, reasons to fast, these are only some. Seek God for the right way for us in transitions, fast for children, fast for substance, resources, and finances, to strengthen our prayers when we face humanly impossible situations, to ask for God's guidance, discern his will, to better hear his voice, to seek deliverance or protection, to help face persecution, to aid us in self-denial or self-discipline, for healing, to express repentance and a return to God, to humble oneself before God, concern for the work of God and minister to the needs of others, to express our love and worship to God, to overcome temptation and dedicate ourselves to God. Now, I want to talk about the rewards of fasting, and we may not see them right away, or we might see them right away, but we have to trust God's timing. But the spiritual rewards, they just keep coming. They just keep coming. And our primary concern should be for the spiritual benefits. One of the spiritual benefits that is immediate actually is discernment. That's an immediate reward. Our understanding is increased, and it shows what our priorities should be. Anna was regularly at the temple, and she fasted regularly. And because she did, she recognized the Lord Jesus as a baby. Another spiritual reward is direction and power. Then there's some psychological or soul. That's the mind, the will, the emotion rewards. Concentration improves. Confidence improves. Jesus, after he fasted, confidently confronted Satan. He knew what to say because he'd been spending time with his father. Then there are health benefits, physical rewards. It strengthens the immune system, but usually to do that, it takes about a 14-day fast, but it increases the levels of our antibodies, and it strengthens our white blood cells' ability to destroy bacteria. It decreases inflammation, particularly for rheumatoid arthritis. It eliminates toxins. The digestive system rests, and the body removes increased amount of wastes and toxins. It breaks down plaque in our arteries. There's a management of cancer, and it helps in that disease. Conquers obesity. Don't fast for weight loss. That's a wrong motive, but it's a benefit that happens to come along with it. And it rejuvenates our senses. So as the body is purified of toxins and waste, the physical senses become keener. So fasting has multiple benefits and blessings. So Satan isn't going to want you to take part in it. He's going to want to interrupt it. So don't let him. Make up your mind, commit, and don't let anything throw you off track. Have the Holy Spirit help you. When I spoke to Brian Sterling about fasting, Brian said, well, you know, we ought to ask God to remind us that every time our stomach growls that we should pray. Well, you know, Brian, I think that's a great idea. However, I'm a little concerned about asking God to do that, because if I'm going to go on a 21-day fast, I don't want my stomach to growl for the full 21 days to remind me to pray. I'd like to do something else to remind me to pray. But if it works for you guys, do it. I just don't want to prolong the discomfort. Our church is welcoming a 21-day fast, and it's your choice whether or not you want to be part of it. And if you do, you can choose how you want to be part of it, how you want to participate, and for how many days you want to. At other churches, some have participated the full 21 days on a partial choice, a partial fast of their choice. They're amazing, amazing testimonies after people fast, and when individuals in church fast as a whole and come together in agreement. And next week, we'll have some suggestions for you as to what we can pray for in unity as a church and cooperating in fasting as a whole. But you're also going to have your own individual reasons, and you can share those or not. Once you have a testimony, you may want to share them, but you'll have your own reasons, and we'll have our corporate reasons. But whatever they are, after the first of the year, and we join together, we'll start this January the 2nd and go on for 21 days. So here's some ideas for fasting. You can skip one or two meals a day. You can fast all day and after sundown, have a light meal. You can fast for one night or one day, 3, 7, 10, 14, or a full 21. You can have only water and juice, or you can add broth and soup. Or you can have a 21-day Daniel fast where you fast with fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. And please, I have this handout for you. Kathy Collins provided this. She got this for us, and there's a website you can go to for more information. But we've printed that out for you so that you have it available, the foods that you can eat on a Daniel fast. And then there's the 40-day spiritual fast that you'll do only with God's direction. So when you're fasting, you can also either just give up certain foods or beverages. Example, give up anything that has sugar, any sweets, any meat, any bread, any caffeine, pop, alcohol. Choose something that would be surrendering to you. Or you can offer something other than or as well as food. And as a matter of fact, this is encouraged because you don't want any distractions from the world taking you away from God. You want to draw close to God in every way that you can. So other suggestions are to abstain from television or radio or movies or media or computer or phone, any distraction from the world, shopping, anything that's a particular pleasure to you, even some time with people so that you are spending that time with God. But during the whole time of fasting, you should be devoting time to God. You should be spending more time in the Word and sharing your heart with Him and listening to Him. On an extended fast, some of you may need to get your doctor's approval. Make sure that you are able to do this so that you don't get into any problems. Don't take any vitamins and don't drink water that has chlorine in it during the fast. And here's some expectations. Your body is going to be removing toxins, so your tongue may get a white coating on it and your urine may become dark and foul smelling for a while, and then that'll all clear up. Extra sleep may be beneficial. So if you're able during the day, if you feel like you need extra rest, by all means, listen to your body and do it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Use your regular, what would be a regular meal time, to be a regular God time for you. Pray, meditate, Bible study, keep a journal. And yeah, I just want to suggest to you, Kathy Collins used this. This is a fasting journal that is by Jettison Franklin. You can get it on Amazon. We've given you that information on your handout as well. It's powerful because you can take notes, tell what God is showing you, but also you get to certain points where you just may get discouraged or distraught, or you want to give up, or you know, just throw in the towel. And Kathy said that when she got to those different points, she had, there's a worship thought in the journal that just was absolutely perfect, that just spurred her on and kept her going. And she says, yeah, how did you know that's how I was going to feel? And it's just like a little shot in the arm. So I'd encourage you, if you're going to go on the 21-day Daniel fast, to get this book and use it along with your prayer and fasting time. It'll be a huge benefit to you. Fasting is life-changing. Really, you'll want to do it again, because when you experience God's power in His presence, it's like, whoa, why haven't I done this before? Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." You know, it's hard to think of going without food. And we also don't want our belly to control us, though, as we've just read in this particular scripture. That's a pretty powerful and kind of a stab you in the heart type of scripture, that our God would be our belly, that we let the belly control us. I just invite you again to accept Jesus' invitation. Fasting really isn't an option when you consider that we're invited to pray, we're invited to give, we're invited to fast. And fasting and prayer together are instrumental in binding the powers of hell and loosing the love, power, and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I want to remind you, don't leave without your handouts. It talks about the types of fasting, gives you some suggestions, and then the 21-day partial fast of Daniel's fast. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we just come to you today, and this subject is not one we spend much time thinking about or even wanting to think about. But today, I just praise you that Pastor Kevin opened the doors for this discussion, for this teaching, and that, Lord, you have put it on the hearts of our leaders here that we are opening up a 21-day fast in January for our people to take part in, no matter how they do it. Lord, I ask that you would work in their hearts. You would lead and guide each one to what is right for them, and what the subject and reason for their fast might be, and how they can draw closer to you as they go through the fast. Father, as in everything, we pray your guidance and direction. We praise you, Lord, that you are not a God that just calls us to do, but you've invited us to come and take part. And in exchange, you've offered us rewards. What a mighty God that you love your children so much that you would give rewards to encourage us to take part in those things that will give us a better life and give those around us a better life. We praise you, Jesus. And I ask your blessing upon everyone in the congregation here today. May you go with them and hold them close to your heart. Protect, and keep them. And may they hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.